The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
The Nicole Sandler Show. Questioning authority daily. And that could be the very reason why YouTube is upset. Hey, YouTube. The music bed you hear beneath my voice is from a broadcast sound library that I paid for and have the receipts. So I've got your copyright violation right here. And now, here's Nicole.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another day. It's a Thursday, number 10 since we've been sheltering at home, safer at home. And we are safer at home. I truly believe that as I see the numbers piling up. Yesterday morning, you know, when I was on, I told you we had passed the 100,000 mark of 100,000 lives lost in the United States due to the coronavirus. Now, when I got off the air and I turned on the TV, I saw CNN saying, oh, we're like 20 away or something, like a, you know, the big countdown to 100,000. And I guess it all depends on what source you were looking at. Yesterday morning, when I started writing, gathering all my info together for What's News, I just did the Google. I Googled COVID-19 death counts, and it brought up, it said 100,000 48 or something like that. And that was early yesterday morning. Their source is obviously different than the source CNN and MSNBC were using, which is Johns Hopkins. Either way you look at it, we passed that 100,000 lives lost mark probably a couple of weeks ago, because we know the numbers are grievously undercounted for a number of reasons. One is just, you know, every state has their own system of tallying the numbers of those infected, those who've died, those in the hospital, those not, and reporting it. For instance, in Florida, where I live, there is a concerted effort to hide those numbers, to make them as low as possible, because you know that's what Donald Trump wants, right? He didn't want to let people who were hurting in the country because it would inflate his numbers. Fucking moron. And so, you know, we probably hit that milestone a while ago. The other part of it is people who die at home, who never get to the hospital, and others who died even before the medical experts realized what was going on. A lot of them were not counted as COVID victims, yet they were. So whatever it is, the number is huge and just unbelievable. I mean, in less than 4 months, and I'm being generous here because it's probably closer to a little over 2 months, but in less than 4 months, 100,000 people in this country alone have been killed. And Donald Trump stands up there and says, we've done a great job. We're doing a great job. No, you're not. This fucking moron, the date was February 15th. Sorry, I'm going to assault your ears. There's 14 seconds of Trump coming. I'm just warning you, because I get emails from people saying, when you play his voice, I have to turn the sound down. I get it. That's why I've honed my impressions so well. But there are things that you just have to hear in his own words, like this bit of idiocy from February 15th.
We have a total of 15 cases. And again, when you have 15 people and the 15 within a couple of days is going to be down to close to zero, that's a pretty good job we've done.
Yeah, 15 down to zero. What a fucking moron. And he's still lying to you. He is the gaslighter in chief. That's the one thing he does well. He lies about everything. He gaslights everything. So, yeah, per capita. Dan in the YouTube chat room, you remember his per capita. There's lots of per capitas. Which per capita are you talking about? There's only one definition for per capita. The guy is a walking, talking moron. You know, I don't use the R word because it is a you know, it's offensive to people who have mental restrictions. Let's put it that way. But he is. If anyone ever deserved to be called the R word with the worst, you know, definition of the term, it's him. He is. He's not only mentally retarded, he's physically, everything about him is retarded. And I'm not using that as a pejorative for people who are mentally challenged. You know, I'm trying to be politically correct here. I don't use that word. But I call Donald Trump a lot of things that I don't call anyone else. There are certain words that are reserved for him that even me with my potty mouth don't normally say. Yeah. Ugh. God, everything about him is offensive. We need to get this man out of office. So did you hear? Yesterday, he threatened, I told you about it, he threatened to censor or shut down social media because Twitter dared to flag two of his tweets. They didn't censor them. They didn't remove them or delete them. They didn't shut down his account as they should, as they would if any regular citizen posted the crap that he posts, right? But instead, he's like, we're gonna take it out on them. I should find the exact quote. I do have it here as a story in my What's News. He went ballistic. He threatened to, quote, strongly regulate or close them down before we can ever allow this to happen again. Ugh. So we were told, Kaylee McEnany told the pool reporters yesterday that Trump would be signing an executive order today that would, I don't know what. She didn't give out many details yesterday. This morning, the New York Times said that this executive order was intended to curtail the legal protections that shield social media companies from liability for what gets posted on their platforms. And the Washington Post said the order, quote, could roll back the immunity that tech giants have for the content on their sites. So that means Twitter would not be liable for what I, as a random person who has a Twitter account, for what I post. So in other words, I could be liable for my slander, but Twitter would not be held responsible for it. So he's fighting something that, for something that he's fighting against. I mean, the man's such a fucking moron. He doesn't understand. He's right now, Twitter did not remove his post. They just said, here's a little bit more information that might clarify the shit that this moron is putting out. But now, if this stuff is true, Trump is fighting to make sure that these companies would be held accountable for the lies and fake news that people put out, that post on their platforms. This is, you know, this is the old cutting off your nose to spite your face. But we know Donald's already had his nose cut into because of the, you know, the Coke and the Adderall addiction. But that's another story for another day. So I've been waiting. It's now, what, 3:08 p.m. Eastern on Thursday afternoon and still nothing about this executive order. And just moments ago, a headline crossed my desktop. And the headline reads, Trump's draft executive order targeting social media companies sparks battle inside the White House. Oh, I think we need a... Yeah, because... And you can kind of figure out who's on what side. Let me just share with you this article from Yahoo News. Dateline, Washington. The Trump White House has been embroiled in a vigorous internal debate over whether to issue an executive order aimed at punishing social media companies for perceived political bias, with opposition to the order coming from some of the most conservative parts of the administration. Okay, so I'm wondering who, right? White House sources tell Yahoo News that the office of Vice President Mike Pence, National Economic Council Chairman Larry Kudlow, and others are making the argument that it will set a bad precedent to signal that the federal government can go after private companies and seek to penalize them for purely political reasons. So even though the draft of the order that leaked to the public on Thursday would be limited in its impact, the signal it would send is the most significant thing, according to its opponents. The push comes as the coronavirus death toll in the United States surpasses 100,000. Inside the White House, an administration official told Yahoo News, saying there is pushback from a lot of people. There's a lot of frustration among advisors who are often some of the president's most loyal backers. But the push for the order, you want to know who's with Donald on this crap? White House counsel Pat Cipollone, the lawyer, right? The one who got up there and argued, defended Trump during the impeachment trial. Yeah, him. Another source also said that Dan Scavino, the White House director of social media, is also supportive. Cipollone and the White House did not immediately respond to requests for comment. And so that, you know, that's where it is. What's her name? McEnany is doing another one of her briefings. And I understand, you know, I wasn't watching, but I understand that CNN did not cover it, did not carry it live today, which is a good thing. And hopefully neither did MSNBC, because they need to stop. This woman lies incessantly. She's every bit as corrupt as Sarah Huckabee Sanders. We don't know about the one who came between them, because she never stood at the podium, not once. Oy, oy, oy. All right, we got a lot of territory to cover today. There's more news to get to. Howie Klein is coming up, and we're even going to speak with one of the candidates that Blue America has endorsed, who is running in a special election for New York's 27th congressional district. And in this election, if he wins, he is he goes into Congress immediately. It's a special election to fill a vacancy. His name is Nate McMurray, and he'll just join me and Howie for a couple of minutes. But we will go through the rest of the list that we started 2 weeks ago, continued last week, and hopefully we'll finish it up today, of the primary elections still to come. Many of them were rescheduled because of the coronavirus. And so I have the new dates. Howie will tell us who is who's been endorsed by Blue America. And we need to really put a push on to get these people to win their primaries so that they'll all be on the ballots in November. All right. So busy day. But as usual, you know, I like to start with something funny because, you know, we're all too serious these days. As we should be. So I've been finding these wonderful song parodies on the interwebs, and I came up with another one that, again, is an average person. This is a woman named Tina Madigan Mayer, and her YouTube account is Confessions of a Carpool Mom. And she published this video. She posted it 9 days ago, so it's been over a week, and it only has 608 views. So I think we need to get her a few more. Now, there are a number of parodies of this song, which happens to be one of my favorite songs, although I like the cake version better than the Gloria Gaynor version. That give it away yet? The song she's parodying is I Will Survive. And again, this is Tina Madigan Mayer, Confessions of a Carpool Mom. Here we go. Oops. Why am I not hearing it? Oh, here we go. There we go.
First I was afraid, I was petrified, thinking I would lose my mind, quarantined inside. With two cats, two rats, two kids, my husband and the dog, the whole day long. Would we learn how to get along? Locked in my house, them in my space. Would I smack that stupid look right off my husband's stupid face? I might just put him in a headlock, cause he snores at night, you see. The way he breathes and walks, oh Lord, you know, his face just bothers me. Go on now, go! Walk out the door! We turn around now, cause we can't go outside no more. The kids might drive me up a wall. Won't you hear my plea? I'll say the rosary day and night. Just could try. Is 2 plus 2 that equals 5? And did you know that pigs can fly? Let's do a dance. Play peekaboo. Let's get some markers out and give ourselves a Post Malone tattoo. I might just have to pop some Xanax, maybe smoke some LSD. Now wash your hands, it's dinner time. And no, it's not gluten free. Go on now, go. Walk out the door. Wait, turn around now. Cause we can't go outside no more. We don't have to get a shower. We don't have to brush our hair. We'll play Fortnite 50 hours in our puffin underwear. Oh Lord, yes, I will survive. I'll just have a pantry party so my sweet tooth stays alive. I'll just eat away my sadness as my pants expand in size. Don't call me mom or wife or Tina. I'll be known as
Wow, was she good. Sorry about the shock and sound there. That's my horrible board work. Wow. That was, I don't know about you, but I think that was awesome. A parody of I Will Survive from Tina Madigan Mayer. Confessions of a Carpool Mom is the name of her YouTube channel. Again, I will post that video on the blog at NicoleSandler.com. It'll be under today's show. So NicoleSandler.com/5-28.20-20. It'll be posted within, you know, a half hour or so after after the show. But that's just about, she's got about a handful of videos up there. She brought out her kids to dance with her. That was fun. And again, she published that video 9 days ago. And it only has 608 views. So I think we all need to go view Tina Madigan Mayer's YouTube channel. Again, Tina Madigan with two D's, Mayer, M-A-Y-E-R. And you can go search for her on YouTube and like her video. Let's give her a good boost from her 608 views. Subscribe to her channel because I love shit like that. This is just a mom who's stuck at home with her kids and they got together and they made this video. And she's good. She's got a great voice. There are so many talented people out there. So good for her. Again, I'll post it on the blog today, but you can go search her, Tina Madigan Mayer. Anyway, if you want to do some help. By the way, speaking of talented people, there's tonight on the interwebs a live stream. It's Artists for Amazonia, and it has nothing to do with Amazon and Jeff Bezos. No, this is the Amazon rainforest, and it's artistsforamazonia.org. And I bet I closed out the window, which would be really stupid of me, but I think I did. Let me open it again real quick and see. Because the people that are participating in this thing, the lineup is incredible. And I'm really surprised I hadn't heard anything about it until just a little while ago. Artists United for Amazonia, Protecting the Protectors. And the people that are participating in this thing, it's 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern tonight. Again, streaming artistsforamazonia.org. And they have Barbra Streisand, Sting and Trudy Styler, Morgan Freeman, Dave Matthews, Jane Fonda, Ricky Martin. That's the top line talent. Then on the next line, they go to Jeff Bridges, Scott Bakula, Butterscotch, Una Chaplin, a lot of people I don't know, Peter Coyote, Peter Gabriel, Herbie Hancock, Carlos Santana, Alfre Woodard, Ed Begley Jr., Francis Fisher, Carrie Elwes. I mean, the list goes on. It's a mix of musical artists and actors and public figures. There's a lot of indigenous leaders and presenters, scientists and experts, including Jane Goodall. This is all happening again tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, Artists for Amazonia, AMAZONIA.org. Check it out. Could be something really fun to listen to. And then I noticed something else that's happening Saturday night at 9 Eastern. Just giving you a little musical update. Lyle Lovett and John Hyatt are teaming up to do a live stream. It'll be at lyallovett.com, johnhyatt.com. It'll be on their Facebook pages and everywhere this Saturday night at 8. Look, while we're all stuck at home, and you should still be stuck at home, there's stuff out there or coming to into our own homes to entertain us. And it sounds like there's a lot of great stuff coming up. So there's all that. All right. We're 9 minutes away from Howie Klein. How about we get to a little bit of news, shall we? Yeah, let's hit this.
I read the news today.
Okay, and we'll do it live.
We'll do it live.
Okay, Bill O'Reilly, would you just leave me alone already?
We'll do it live.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
This fucking thing sucks.
Yeah, you suck. Thank you, Bill. Be gone. All right, so the new unemployment numbers are out. And another 2.1 million people filed unemployment claims last week, bringing the total to 40.8 million people filing for unemployment in just 10 short weeks. By the way, that 40.8 million people, that's about the equivalent of the entire state of California being out of work. And the layoffs keep coming. Today, we learned that CBS News has begun a massive layoff. One estimate says that about 50 staffers were cut from CBS News. Though the network hasn't given an exact number, reports of those laid off include White House reporter Mark Knoller, who's been there forever. He's a journalistic institution. Although, I got to say, a little while ago, he tweeted out that he's still on the job for now anyway. We'll see. In other news, breaking precedent, the White House announced yesterday that they've decided not to release updated economic projections this summer so as not to publish a forecast of severe economic downturn. Because how would Donald Trump do that? After all, he couldn't keep saying, we're going to have a good third quarter and a really, really strong fourth quarter. We're going to come back stronger than ever, like you've never seen before. It'll make your head spin. Obviously, if they were honest and gave a legitimate economic forecast, that he couldn't do that, but that's what he does. Just announced another round of Supreme Court decisions will be handed down, announced Monday morning at 10 a.m. So I think, you know, look, the historic telephone arguments from the month of May are over. And I don't know. I don't know if they've heard all of the cases they're going to hear this term. Usually they have by now. And in June, we get the decisions that are still pending. So maybe that's what's happening now. And the way that works is we sit glued like to SCOTUSblog.com and wait for the decisions to be released. Now, we have no idea which ones. We won't know probably until Monday morning. But just letting you know that's happening. What else do I want to tell you about? We need to talk about Minnesota. Last night, the second night of protests, as crowds were demanding justice for George Floyd, the black man who died after a white police officer kneeled on his neck for 9 fucking minutes during his arrest, the second night of protests turned violent, second night in a row. The mayor, Mayor Jacob Free, called for calm and back demands for prosecutors to file charges against the cop, asking why is the man who killed George Floyd not in jail? So that cop and three others involved in Floyd's arrest on suspicion of forgery were fired Tuesday after the video surfaced that we've all seen by now in disbelief. Another protest in Los Angeles last night shut down and blocked both sides of the always busy 101 freeway. That's a big deal. And believe it or not, it happened again. It happened again. This time in, where was this? Tallahassee, Florida. And I'm seeing, look, I guess I could be taken in. It could be like yesterday's Justice for Carolyn, you know, kind of an experiment, a social experiment, who you know, pointing out that Donald Trump killed this woman back in whatever year it was, and that you can say these things on social media because they don't fact check. I've seen page after page after page of hashtag Tony McDade, Tony McDade. And according to this, Tony McDade, a trans man, a black African-American trans man, was killed in Tallahassee by the police. And to make matters worse, the fact that there's almost no media on it. I can't find any news accounts of what happened. This allegedly happened yesterday or the day before. Tony McDade, a black LGBTQ person, it goes on and on. People are misgendering him. And so what the few news accounts there are identifying him as a she. He's a black transgender man. He was murdered, according to these reports, by police. And people are misgendering him and saying it was a woman killed. He is a man. Say his name, Tony McDade. I have a feeling in a few days we'll start hearing more about what happened to Tony McDade. This is an epidemic. And I'll tell you, one tweet that just was like a punch in the gut. Somebody who goes by the name My True Self on Twitter wrote, say their names, George Floyd, Trayvon Martin, Breonna Taylor, Ahmaud Arbery, Tamir Rice, Oscar Grant, Eric Garner, Philando Castile, Samuel DuBose, Sandra Bland, Walter Scott, Terrence Crutcher. And now we add, apparently, Tony McDade to that list. What is going on? And I guess this is good news. After these two straight nights of violent protests in Minneapolis, the U.S. Justice Department today announced that it's made the federal investigation into George Floyd's death a, quote, top priority. Okay, that's good to know, but as it should be, number one. And number two, Bill Barr's Justice Department, who among us thinks that they're going to do anything about this? Yeah, that's about what I thought. Nobody. That's why we need a change in leadership at the top. All right. So what time is it? All right. We don't have time. I was going to tell you, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez today tweeted out her questioning of Mark Zuckerberg from when he was before her committee in Congress some months back, when she was questioning him about how, you know, that Facebook would not fact check politicians' advertising, and that they could basically post false advertising and would not be challenged on it. It's important today because Mark Zuckerberg was on Fox so-called news yesterday and told Dana Perino that he disagrees with Twitter fact-checking Trump. Here's a quote from Zuckerberg. We have a different policy, I think, than Twitter on this. You know, I just believe strongly that Facebook shouldn't be the arbiter of truth of everything that people say online. I think, in general, private companies probably shouldn't be, or especially these platform companies, shouldn't be in the position of doing that. So what, you just let them get away with lying? Twitter's Jack Dorsey responded and said, we'll continue to point out incorrect or disputed information about elections globally, and we will admit to and own any mistakes we made. This does not make us an arbiter of truth. Our intention is to connect the dots of conflicting statements and show the information in dispute so people can judge for themselves. More transparency from us is critical so folks can clearly see the why behind our actions. They're both jerks. Let me tell you something. Twitter and Jack Dorsey, the only reason they haven't suspended Trump's account is because he's got 80 million followers. Now, half of them are bots and you know, fake accounts, but still 40 million followers. And he's, you know, he brings people to the platform because, for God's sake, the idiot tweets multiple times every day. It's all he does. Facebook is reprehensible. How they could say, we're not going to fact check anyone? Well, then fuck you, Mark Zuckerberg. I've got a song for you. I think everyone here is going to sing along with us. You ready? I just got to find it. Here we go. All right, so yeah, a little bit of that. You know, and I'd get off of Facebook, although it's the only way I stay in contact with, you know, people from all my years in Los Angeles. If it were not for these platforms, I'd have no connection to people who were a big part of my life. So I guess I put up with the crap. It's all very disturbing. It's just all very disturbing. You should be disturbed. If you're not disturbed, that's disturbing. All right, it is that time of the week again. So, with no further ado, let's get those Dirty Debbies in the blender, please. We got to get Howie Klein on the line. Let's do that right now.
Are you a multinational corporation hungry for a treat? Well, come on down to Schmucky Chucky's, where you'll personally be seated by Chuck Schumer himself.
So many dishes and they're all fresh.
You're gonna love our Blue Dog special, the Dino Burger, because we say so.
A good hamburger and french fries.
And every burger comes with a side order of
grits. I love grits. I love anything with corn. It's corn.
All for only $50,000. Wash it all down with a Dirty Debbie.
9/10 water, 1/10 orange juice. After a week or two, you drink this, it's 200 calories and it's acidic.
And wipe your mouth with a tissue print of Glass-Steagall. For dessert, try our DNC tarts.
Little cookies, tell the quality of that.
Most restaurants give you a mint, but at Schmucky Chucky's, you get complimentary.
Sweet and low.
Who picks up the tab for all this? Find out now with Howie Klein of DownWithTyranny.com on The Nicole Sandler Show.
Well, and the Blue America Pack. Hey, Howie Klein, how are you doing?
I'm good, Nicole, and hope you are as well.
I am. I'm hanging in there, you know, just plugging away here at home. I actually ventured out for the first time yesterday to a doctor's appointment. First time I drove my car in probably 2 to 3 months. So that was weird. But, you know, we're hanging in there. Something I don't know that you'll find interesting anyway. I cook. And we've been experimenting. My daughter Allison has become vegan over the last year or two, and she's been trying to get us to join in, and we're getting there. We watched the documentary the other night again, Knives, Forks Over Knives, which will make anyone turn vegan. And, you know, we're realizing the health benefits of cutting meat out of our diets, and so I've been having fun cooking all these vegetarian and vegan meals. So we may be joining your group sometime soon.
Well, congratulations. It's healthy for you. It's healthy for the environment. And I find it to be completely delicious. I think I probably told you I stopped eating meat in the late 1960s and haven't looked back.
Right. Right. So I'm amassing, recipes and experimenting and trying new things. The biggest problem is cheese. So tonight I'm experimenting with a couple of different vegan cheeses that I'll be making. I guess cashews are the main ingredient you use.
One of them, sure. Yeah. There are many, many ways to go with alternatives for cheese. But, you know, another thing that you might find more easy for yourself and your partner is to become a vegetarian first.
Yeah.
And then go to veganism.
Yep.
I mean, vegetarianism is a sort of a transition mm-hmm. place.
Right. And we've been doing that too. But now Allison was away for a couple of weeks and now she's back. And so I made an amazing lasagna with using eggplant instead of the lasagna noodles, and another an enchilada with dish with sweet potatoes and black beans, and they were both so good, but they're both heavy on the cheese. So I got to figure out the next time I make them if I want to try with it to make cheese and go all in, or just, you know. But I'm having fun experimenting with all these different foods, and I'll tell you something: it's a hell of a lot less expensive when all you're buying is vegetables.
Expensive.
Yeah,
Absolutely.
Yeah. So anyway, Howie Klein, I just wanted to share that with you. All right. So the last couple of weeks, we have been going through the calendar of primary races still coming up because everything got all screwed up thanks to the coronavirus. So a lot of primary dates were rescheduled. Hopefully most of these states, they will be allowing people to vote by mail so we don't have a repeat of what happened in Wisconsin. So we've gone through, we went through over the last 2 weeks, races. Oh, shoot, I didn't bring over the whole calendar. I only brought over today. So what we're up to now is the June 23rd elections, primary day. Kentucky, that's a new date for them where their Senate race, the Senate primary is coming up. New York is on the 23rd, and Virginia. So let's start with Kentucky. Do we care? I mean, obviously we care. We want Mitch McConnell out of there. Is there a decent Democrat in the race, or is Amy McGrath our hope?
There are two decent Democrats, who are fighting it out with Amy McGrath. So one of them is a state legislator from Louisville who gave up his seat so he could go full-time in this campaign against McConnell. And his name is Charles Booker.
Okay.
So, and he's been endorsed by the Blue America PAC.
Oh.
Charles is a really good state legislator. He's a real Bernie guy. He's the same as Bernie on most of the most important populist issues, from Medicare for All and the Green New Deal and better opportunities for education, you know, free college education, for example, at state universities. And then the other one is Mike Breuer. I don't know if I'm pronouncing his name right, but Mike is also an excellent progressive, really, really good guy. I know him and like him a lot. I didn't actually realize he was running when we decided to endorse
Charles
Booker. It might have been a dual endorsement in that case. But Marianne Williamson has endorsed Mike, and she introduced me to him.
Oh, nice.
And he also, by the way, he does a radio show as well, and had me on his show. Or I don't know, maybe it's a podcast. I'm not sure. But had me on a few weeks ago. It was really fun. Very, very good guy. So we have two really good candidates. Amy McGrath has all the money in the world. She's the Chuck Schumer candidate.
Yeah.
And he's helping her raise immense amounts of money from out of state. So she's raising lots of corporate money, lots of money from Wall Street, his base. And, you know, if money is going to be the determining factor, she will be the nominee. And I assume that lots of Democrats will then just hold their nose and back her because, you know, it's Mitch McConnell.
Yes.
And, you know, today, what is that called? The Lincoln Project put out a really excellent new ad, an anti-McConnell ad, which I'm running on my blog tomorrow, and it makes the case that McConnell is possibly worse than Trump. There was also a story in The Nation that made the same case this morning that I think it was Hijer, I'm not sure who wrote it, but it was making the case that McConnell is actually worse than Trump.
Wow.
At the very minimum, there would be no possibility for Trump to do the kind of stuff he's doing if not for McConnell. So, you know, I'm not, you know, I don't live there. I don't have to vote if it's not one of the progressives. But I suspect from the people in Kentucky who I've spoken to that they are going to vote for anyone but Mitch.
Yeah. As they should. Do you want to see that Lincoln Project ad? I've got it here.
Yeah. It's a 1 minute ad.
It's a 1 minute
excellent
ad.
Why don't you show it? That's
sure.
Absolutely
okay.
Great.
Here we go. So this is the new one from the Lincoln Project. It's called Rich Mitch. Here we go.
What will history say about Mitch McConnell? Well, he spent most of his time making deals for himself, not so much for Kentucky. Mitch didn't have money when he went to Washington 35 years ago. Today, he's one of the richest guys up there. Rich Mitch has a nice ring to it. So what did Kentucky get in the bargain? Well, we're 40th in job opportunity, 45th in education, 43rd in healthcare. Getting the picture? After 35 years, Kentuckians are still waiting for the kinds of opportunities Mitch worked so hard to give himself. With another 6 years of Mitch McConnell, from the holler to the horse farm, we'll still be waiting. And Mitch, he'll just be richer. So what will history say about Mitch McConnell? The same thing many Kentuckians say now. Not a damn thing.
The Lincoln Project, this is the thing that's so frustrating. Their stuff is really good, right? They're yep. putting out some great ads against Trump, against McConnell, against these crazy Republicans. But the thing to keep in mind is that the people behind the Lincoln Project are still Republicans. Rick Wilson and Bill Kristol. And great, they may be anti-Trump, but I'll tell you, the minute Trump is out of office, they're going to revert to their Republican ways because they are Republicans. I just don't want anyone getting too, you know, comfortable with them, because MSNBC certainly is. They're the Never Trumper channel now. But that's what these people are. Don't forget, they're still Republicans.
Right. And most people, I think, are forgetting.
Yeah.
The thing with most of them is that they are conservative Republicans.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh, they're so moderate, they're practically Democrats.
No.
No, they're so conservative, they're practically blue dogs. You can say that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, my fear is that they won't go back to the Republican Party. My fear is that they will
try to take over the Democratic Party.
Continue taking over the Democratic Party,
yeah.
which is what's happening. And they are very much more talented than the, for example, the DNC, which has no talent at all. These people could run circles around them. They're much more talented than the DSCC.
Yep.
And their ads show it. I mean, look at their ads compared to the Democratic ads, and you laugh. I mean, their ads are an A, and the Democratic ads are, you know, a C.
Yeah, absolutely. Without a doubt. They have the creativity that our side doesn't. And while right now, you know, it's like the enemy of my enemy is my friend, these people are not our friends. I just need to stress that point, because I'm hearing too much praise for them, and realize who they are. Yes, they want Trump out. They want to return the Republican Party to the days of Bush or Reagan. And sorry,
exactly,
we don't want that.
Right. That's what they're all about.
Yep.
And they make no bones about it.
Nope.
And if they can't return the Republican Party to the days of Reagan and Bush,
yep.
they'll try to change the Democratic Party into that. And they
exactly.
will.
Exactly.
They will really try that.
Yeah.
And you see MSNBC, I mean, they do have, you know, Chris Hayes, and they do have Rachel, for whatever that's worth, and Lawrence O'Donnell.
Uh-huh.
But in the daytime, it's the Never Trump channel.
It's the Never Trump,
Never Trump
channel.
Republican channel.
That's it.
It's all these so-called ex-Republicans.
Yeah.
That's what MSNBC is now.
Yeah. We turned on Ari Melber the other night, and it was like Steve Schmidt and
good.
Bill Kristol and what's his name? The guy that I just mentioned, Rick Wilson. Three Never Trumpers, really? Couldn't get a Democrat in the group? So anyway. All right. So we were talking about Kentucky. So Charles Booker is the Blue America endorsed candidate for the Democratic nomination for Senate. Mike Boyer is also a really good progressive. And then you got Amy McGrath, who's Chuck Schumer's choice. One of those three will win the nomination and go up against Mitch McConnell. And we'd be better served with any of them than him.
Absolutely right.
Okay.
And there are other, obviously there are congressional races as well, but unfortunately, I hate to say this, especially because people work so hard, and I really hate to say it, but there really isn't anyone who's running in any of those seats that would even benefit from an anti-Republican wave. Those seats are hopeless.
Yeah, well, it's Kentucky. So
I'll just leave that alone.
Okay, Kentucky. Next up is New York. This is the rescheduled.
There you've got you've got a lot of real races.
Yes.
Now, do you want to start? Start with the special election, since it's not really a primary. So while you're getting Nate on the phone, if you want me to,
well, don't, because I'm going
to
have to.
I'll be happy.
Well, but he's coming up on the same pot that you're on. It's the only way I could make sure that you could both talk. So we're going to hear it connect and probably ring. We'll see. I don't know. It's calling him now. We'll see if. Oh, he may just pick up. Hello.
Hey, I'm here.
Nate.
Hey, Nate.
Hey, Nate.
Hey, how are you?
Nicole Sandler and Howie Klein calling. That was painless. So Nate McMurray is running in the special election in New York's 27th district. What, now, tell us about this election. Why is there a special election? Why is the seat open?
Well, it's because the first guy that supported Trump, Chris Collins, in Congress, he's going to jail.
Yes, I remember him. Yeah. Okay.
But I have to say, he may not be going to get jailed because he keeps delaying his imprisonment till after the election date.
Oh,
so
no.
He does. I have to bring that up because he's scheduled to go into jail now, and it's like his fourth delay the day after the election. So depending on what we do, we'll determine, I guess, maybe what he does. We'll have to see.
Wow. All right, Howie, you're still with us, yes?
Yes, of course.
Okay, cool. I would just
add to what Nate said. Maybe he's being modest, but Nate is in a very, very red district, one of the reddest districts. No, it is the reddest district in New York. I think it's R plus 11 now. And no Democrat who ran in 2018 even came close to how close Nate's race was. I mean, Nate only lost his race, and that was after, you know, weeks of recounts by about 1,000 votes. That was the closest race of all. The DCCC didn't do anything for him at all. They were not interested. Many of them felt he's too progressive and too populist, and unwilling to serve special interests, unwilling to serve Wall Street. And they just figured, oh, the hell with him. Who needs him? And if they had lifted a finger for him, he would be the congressman now. So he decided to run again. He's running now. Now he's running anyway in the general election. But this is not the general election per se. This is a special election. In other words, if in a couple of weeks Nate wins, he goes right to Congress.
Yeah.
Or votes by proxy anyway. So Nate would be a member of Congress, and then he would be running in November as the incumbent. This is the last special election of the year. This is incredibly important. When he said that Collins was the first backer of Trump, that, let me just emphasize that. The guy who was the congressman who Nate is going to be replacing now was the first member of Congress to endorse Trump. He and Trump were tied at the hip, two Wall Street crooks, and now he's gone, and another billionaire, another Republican crooked billionaire, is challenging Nate for this seat that he rightly deserves. And again, let me just emphasize, DCCC looking in every direction but this.
Wow.
Although Chuck Schumer, not our friend, but Chuck Schumer did endorse Nate yesterday.
Oh, nice. Congratulations,
Terry,
Nate.
Won't do it. He's just sitting there.
Well, we've had some high-profile endorsements, but he's right about the DCCC. They've never given us the time of day, and we had the largest partisan swing in the country. The only thing I've ever gotten from anybody in that regard is a constant reminder that I should play it down the middle.
Huh.
And I want to tell everybody listening that we had the largest partisan swing in the country. And I ran on Medicare for All. I ran on UBI. I'm the same person I was in 2018. And we had that huge swing because I think a lot of people just want a different voice and an authentic voice. And I think that they heard that in 2018. So we're ready to go again in 26 days.
Wow.
Nate,
wow.
Would you be willing to share with our audience, and if you don't, I understand, but would you be willing to share the something about Joe Crowley and this Joe Crowley's discussions with you, or is that too?
I'd be happy to. And by the way, Howie's been good to me all along. he always was there to talk to me. And there's no playbook for running for Congress. And this is a man that was one of the few that would take my calls early on, and I appreciate that.
Nice.
I think I called you.
Say it again.
He said he thinks
he
called you.
I called you.
You did. You did. I was like, whoa. Yeah, you did. Thank you for that. Listen, early on, so this is one of the most corrupt places in the country politically, and this is a fact. And this is the second very, very wealthy man named Chris in a row that resigned from the seat. Now we're going to go to our third rich Chris.
Wow.
But there was a guy named Chris Lee that was here. He resigned, and there was a special election to fill the seat. That was won by the Democrat. And the Democrat at that time, the district was a little bit more pro-Democrat than it is today, the way it was, the lines were drawn. And since then, they redesigned the district. It became more Republican. And they had another election, and both ran as kind of moderates, and the Democrat lost again. So since then, it's been Republican, and then it went now, finally, again, to Chris Collins, who resigned. So we're on our second resignation and our second special election in 10 years.
Wow.
And so everyone told – resigned before or after he was found – did Chris Collins resign before or after he was found guilty by a jury?
After.
Of course.
After. No, he pled guilty. He pled guilty it was clear that he wasn't going to – he had no chance. So when I was running against him, the whole thing was – he's a good man, and none of these charges are true, and he's an excellent person. And he pledged to fulfill his term no matter what, but he immediately, as soon as he had a plea deal, he stepped down. So, but about Crowley, you want to talk about that for a second? I'm sorry to take up so much time.
That's okay.
Crowley, he called me early on, and he said to me, essentially, you're not right for the district, and we got to find someone better that suits the district better, and you're not the guy.
Well, better is a funny way to put it, because, I mean, it's not so much – I mean, a better fit maybe, but his whole thing was that you were progressive in a conservative district, not even understanding what that means.
Yeah, he essentially told me it was going to ruin my political career. Oh. And I said, I told him, I'm not doing this for a career. It's the right thing to do. And I fought hard for this designation, and I'm going through it. And at the time, the general opinion was I had no chance because I was running against a guy that was so close to Trump in a district where Trump won by 24 points. But again, we came within less than half a percentage point. It was, I would argue, was the closest race in the entire country.
Wow.
And, we had no support.
It was the closest race in the country, and when you think about how it was the closest race in the country, you have to remember two factors. It was also one of the reddest districts in the country that was contested, and it was a district where the DCCC didn't get involved. I mean, the DCCC spent millions of dollars on races that didn't even come close to how close Chris came in this.
Nate. That's okay. No, there's a lot of Chris's involved, but no, you're right. I'm sure there's good people there, but they've never been helpful for us. And they do lip service very well, and they say, hey, we're going to be there for you. But in the end, we've always been grassroots. We've never taken corporate money. And I wish our story was bigger on a national level. I know there's a lot of races, but what happened in NY27 is unique. We had hundreds of people coming to see a Democrat. There has never been that much support for a Democrat in this part of New York State since Bobby Kennedy used to come up here.
And the point is, though, Nate, that I think we need to drive home is that you are a progressive. The people of your district, of New York's 27th, have rejected the conservadems, the so-called centrists, the Republican lights. But when you give them a real progressive, then they come out and vote, right?
Yes. I 100% agree. They're excited. It's not about me. It's about finally someone is saying to them, number one, you matter.
Yep.
We're not writing you off. We're not writing off towns like Albion or Warsaw, these beautiful towns in upstate New York that no one's ever visited for years. And number two, you matter because the values you care about, you don't have to be afraid of. You can be proud of, even in rural New York. And people are coming to my side. We'll have to see. This is going to be a funky election on the 23rd because of mail-in issues and other issues.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, go to my events. Or we don't have events right now, unfortunately, because what's happening. But if you went to my events before COVID, they were packed. If you follow my social media, we do not have, we do not have maybe the numbers as someone else that's in a big city has. But we have a passionate support base because they know that I'm there for them and I believe in the same things they care about.
And one of your constituents or future constituents is in our chat room. She's a regular here. Her name is Sandy. Her handle is Environmental Coffee House. She does a wonderful show on YouTube dealing with climate change and the environment. Anyway, she wrote, "Tell Nate that I am for him. Many friends I have from Grand Island. Chris Collins, the first Trump endorser." And she said, "Nate is very popular up here, like Brian Higgins." I don't know who Brian Higgins is, but she...
He's a congressman from New York, sort of a little bit more centrist than Nate.
Gotcha.
He represents Buffalo.
He's in the Democratic district that's NY26. He's endorsed me. But thank you so much for the kind comments. I obviously support... I'm endorsed by the League of Conservation Voters and the Sierra Club. And when I was a small town leader, I tell you what, we had a small-scale Green New Deal, and it was very, very successful in my small town. We were all in on solar and all in on conservation and green development. And I tell you what, it worked.
Awesome. All right.
Nate, why don't you tell all listeners who want to contribute to you how to do that?
Sure, you can go to votemcmurray.com. That's the easiest way. Just go to votemcmurray.com. And I just want to say one more thing. You know, I'm running against someone who is one of the wealthiest people in America, and his family is one of the wealthiest families in America. I was employed by the family, and they laid me off when I told them I was going to run against their nephew. And
well,
listen,
he's running against you, to be more accurate.
Yeah, that's right. He's running against me. That's exactly right. And they had no problem when I ran before, but when it came to their interest, I was out. Huh. And I'll say this to everybody who's listening. Look, I'm one of seven. My mother raised me by herself. She raised all seven of us by herself. My father passed away when I was four. And I think that background shapes my values and what I will represent in Congress. And if anyone's listening, I hope more regular people stand up and say, I am going to run. Because unless we continue to run and fight, people that have the understanding of what it's like just to pay for gas or to pay for groceries, they're not going to be there, and you're going to continue to have a corporate government that doesn't serve the interests of the American people. So I just wanted to give that shout out to everybody out there who thinks they can't run. Trust me, if I can run, if you knew my background and where I came from, and I can be successful, a lot of us can run.
Awesome. Nate McMurray, thank you so much. Vote McMurray, McMurray.com. I'll put a link on the blog today at NicoleSandler.com. So we'll, you know, make sure people know how to get a hold of you. Nate, best of
Thanks,
luck.
Take care. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you.
Thanks
thank you so
coming
much.
On. Bye, Nate.
Bye, Nate. So June 23rd is the day, the date of that New York primary. Howie, we got
election.
Like,
remember, this is different from a primary.
Oh, this is a special election.
If he wins on that day, boom, right into Congress.
Right, right. There's another Blue America endorsed candidate in Shania Chowdhury.
You can just call him Sean. His
Sean.
Friends call him
okay.
Sean. What a great guy. He's a democratic socialist, you know, full-on Bernie or even more of a working-class candidate than Bernie. Wonderful, wonderful guy. He is the captain of a rugby team which won an international championship in the middle of him getting started to run. He had to go to Australia and play and won the championship.
Oh, wow.
He's a real fighter. I mean, that shows him being a fighter, but he is a real fighter. He worked in the state legislature in Albany as a legislative assistant before he decided to do this. And, you know, he's in, you know, the part of Queens, the southeast part of Queens where they were showing the hospital with the
yes.
all the bodies
yep.
piling up?
Yep.
That's the district. That,
wow.
He's running against the guy who has been dubbed by Crewe the most corrupt member of Congress, this guy named Gregory Meeks, a new Dem. So he's a conservative, Wall Street-owned Democrat who is there for one reason only, and that is to enrich himself. He is completely corrupt. He's on the House Financial Services Committee. He sells his vote to the Wall Street interests and votes with them instead of with the Democrats. I can't tell you how awful this guy is. But, you know, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. He's as bad as they come. Sean is as good as they come.
Awesome.
So, and right, Blue America endorsed him early on. I'm sure we were the first ones to endorse him. Great guy. I should have asked him to come on as well today, but I didn't think about it.
Well, we can do it another time because we're just about out of time. So we got through Kentucky and New York today anyway. Is there anybody in Virginia? The Virginia primary is also June 23rd. Anybody there we need to focus on?
Well, there are good people in Virginia too, but we didn't finish with another candidate right next to the 27th is the 25th. That's Monroe County.
Uh-huh.
So Nate has a little piece of Monroe County in his district, which is the Rochester County, but the bulk of it, including the city of Rochester, is in the 25th district, and we have an incredible candidate there named Robin Wilt.
Okay.
And Robin, again, a fine Bernie-crat. I think she served as a one of the Bernie delegates of the Democratic convention last time.
Uh-huh.
And she is she's as good a candidate as you're ever going to find. And she's running against, again, a corrupt and a conservative Democrat who's just taking up space and has nothing to offer anyone. And Robin would just make an incredible, amazing member of Congress.
Okay.
So I just wanted to say that before, and we can go on before we left, and we can go on with the rest of the candidates next time.
Yep, next time we head to June 30th, where it's Oklahoma and Colorado's Senate race. So, and I know you've got somebody in each of those. So, Howie Klein, as always, a pleasure. Thank you so much. Another week in isolation, another week of the craziness in this with this pandemic. Glad to hear you're doing well. We're all just, you got to stay home and take care of yourself. That's the thing I need to say to people. So thank you, Howie.
Yes, and also, can you ask the people in the chat room if they like the idea of having Nate on? Because if they did, we can ask the candidate, a candidate
sure.
every week while this is going on, while we're discussing it, to come on the way he did and talk about their race. So it's not just me, but it's them as well.
Sure. Okay. Chat room, weigh in. I'll be watching your comments for the next few minutes. So feel free to weigh in or send me an email, nicole@nicolesandler.com. Howie Klein, find him at downwithtyranny.com, where there's a link there, a box for the Blue America Pack. You can click on there. And also, that's a place where you can donate to those candidates who Blue America has endorsed. And Blue America doesn't take a cut. The money goes straight to the candidate. So, Howie, as always, thank you. I'll talk to you next week.
Great to talk to you.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye. All right. That's it. We're late. Tomorrow, John Nichols of The Nation will be here. He's got a brand new book out. Lots to talk with him about. Good way to wrap up the week. So thank you. We'll see you tomorrow. Take care and be safe. Bye, everyone.